delivered over to death for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And for the next 10 years, I'm going to be speaking about grace. And at the end of that 10 years, I will have only touched the surface of what grace is all about. But, you know, as I've been thinking about, and it kind of fits in so brilliantly to all the worship songs that Liz has chosen today. I mean, how great was that worship time? And it fits in so well because the grace of God is the foundation and the bedrock of every ministry, every vision, everything, every church that we would ever conceive of. Everything that we do in the Christian life, we can do nothing without an understanding of the grace of God and what it means. And we think we know, and we live like we don't, because so many of us think that the grace of God in that moment of time when I gave my life to Jesus, that's what that was for. And the Bible says now we stand in the grace of God, and you have to keep standing in that grace of God. Yeah. And I love that mnemonic, which is God's riches at Christ's expense. Yeah. At Christ's expense, but we live in grime. God's riches in my efforts.
Yeah. True.
We live in grime.
Yeah.
And we think that if I pray more or work harder or tick all the boxes of all the things that I'm meant to do as a Christian, God's riches will then pour out to me. And God says, do you know what?
Yeah.
Don't bother.
Yeah.
I'm slipping into heresy here somewhat.
You're not, you're doing all right.
Am I? Thank you. Because God says, I will bless you no matter what. I will never turn my face away from you. Ever, ever, ever. There's nothing you can do. Don't be so arrogant. There's nothing that I can do, Mike, that will ever cause God's face to turn away from me. His hand is outstretched to me even now. And I know what I've said and done and thought this week. You don't. I'm not going to share it with you. It's too embarrassing. I'm the leader of the church. I'm meant to be perfect. And if I was to live my life in grime, in my own efforts, yeah, you're right, God wouldn't bless me, but I don't. I live in the grace of God.
Amen.
I live underneath the act, the chosen act of Jesus Christ, which is now and forevermore.
Amen.
How exciting is that? And last week when I was speaking about grace, and the devil comes along and says, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your faith down. And if our faith is made out of sticks and straw, well, yes, he will. But if our faith is rooted in grace, then grace is a cathedral that I stand in with walls that are thicker than this house. And there's room enough for everybody. And when you stand in a cathedral, everything points up and nothing points at me. And if we live in grace, then everything points up. If we live in grime, everything points to me.
Yeah.
And there comes a point when Mike will let you and me and everybody else in the world down. And you will let you down.
Yeah.
But God will never let you down. And when you've let yourself down, because it will happen, and when you've done that thing you wish you hadn't done, or somebody has done something to you, then God's outstretched hand is there, because he says, my grace is what you stand in, not your efforts.
Amen.
And it excites me.
Amen.
And excites me because if we get a grasp and understanding of that fully, we understand fully what it means for us in our daily lives, we will begin to pour that out to other people. It tells us in John chapter 1 that Jesus came full of power, no, full of miracle, no, full of, it says he came full of grace, and that grace was poured out. That's the beginning of John's gospel, and throughout the whole of the gospel, Jesus then demonstrated grace to everybody, to the lepers, to the prostitutes, to the tax collectors, to Zacchaeus, who stole from everybody. The grace of Jesus Christ.
Lord.
And I look at my relationship with my wife, whom I love so much, and I say, Am I always extending grace to her? Or do I get niggly and naggy and annoyed? And I look at the people I work with, and I look at my parents, and I look at my children, and I look at the people in the church, and I look at the people around me, and I look at my neighbours and say, do I always extend grace? Do I need to repent sometimes? A lot of the time. They're not living up to the standards of God. Or do I extend the grace, the same grace that God's extended to me? Isn't it beautiful to be in a place where people extend grace to one another and mercy to one another? And they're two different things, by the way. Mercy is God withholding from us that which we deserve, i.e. death.
Yeah.
Grace is God pouring out to us that which we don't deserve, i.e. his riches.
Yeah.
So we as a church, I'm urging us to begin to live lives of grace, not grime.
Yeah.
To begin to step into that. And so when we realize that my effort does not get more of God's riches, it also shows to us that when we fail and when we trip up, that doesn't stop the riches of God's love pouring out to us. And sadly, so often, the enemy wants to huff and puff and blow our faith down, because he'll whisper to us, you're not good enough to share. You're not good enough to prophesy. You're not good enough to minister. You're not good enough to turn up to church. You're not good enough to share the gospel. And God says, yes, you are, because of Jesus Christ. And so I'm speaking to myself here. I'm speaking to myself. And this isn't being recorded because I forgot. So it's a one-off, this, folks. It's a one-off.
It is being recorded.
Oh, it's been recorded. It's been recorded. Sorry, whoever I've offended. And so, the excitement of knowing the grace of God is powerful. I was watching a film last night, and I don't necessarily recommend it because it's a bit intense, but it's by Martin Scorsese. It's called Silence. And it's about Japanese Christians who were persecuted for their faith. And if you're a deep thinker, then maybe watch it. If you want to be built up, I was built up. I mean, I thought it was great, but it's not necessarily made by a Christian. I don't know where Martin Scorsese is in his life and so on. But we saw people there in that film giving their utmost to death and struggling with their own inner feelings and thoughts and where they were with everything. But the grace of God for me came out more than anything. That God doesn't expect us to be perfect. We can't be perfect. I can't be perfect. OCF can't be perfect. But what we can be is we can be people who live in the grace of God. And when we do that, then we will see breakthrough. We will see when it stops being about us and me and how great we are and I am and all my efforts and all the, and I am a list person. And I do lists, and sometimes I'll get into work, I'll do my list, and there's about 40 things on the list. That's how stupid I am. And then I tick away and I tick away and I tick away, and I get to the end of the day, and guess what I look at? I look at all the things that I haven't ticked. And we can be that like that in our Christian life. All the things we haven't ticked, all the things we haven't got right, all the things we don't understand yet. And God says, my grace is enough. My love is enough. I love you to death. And as we realize that, then that will pour out into our evangelism and into our outreach, into our ministry, into our families, into our marriages, in our friendships and our relationships. And so I'm just calling us to live not in grime, but in grace. To live in the cathedral of God's grace. And that grace, the foundation, as Paul says in I think it's in Romans chapter 10 and in Corinthians chapter 3, the foundation is Jesus Christ. And I love that, like, kind of mind-blowing verse where sin increased, grace increased all the more. I love it. Because he's talking about my life. And I was listening to a sermon just to finish with, and this is it, that grace is a theology. It's something to understand. It's in the Bible. But actually, more than anything, grace is a story. Grace is your story and my story, and it's a story that we need to start telling. And I remember Steve sharing about that vulnerability and in asking these questions about, you know, where do we stand? And you know, we stand on the grace of God, not on my effort and not on my ability. And so for me, we need to begin to tell our story as individuals, as a church, the grace of God. And Adrian always tells this story of when she was pregnant with Rebecca and we weren't married, and it was like, oh, you know, at that time anyway. And we were on a bus going down. I think we're going down to see my mum or something like that and break the news, all that sort of thing, you know, feeling a bit low about ourselves. And and then next to us was this tanker, and all along the tanker, it, and I think there was two, one of these tankers with two tanker things on the back, and they both said Grace. I think there's a company that does oil or something called Grace. How good is God? Right, screw up, right next to it. And it sounds a silly thing, but to us it was grace. I've got a double barreled load of grace for you. And that's the story of our life, isn't it? Every single one of us could stand up here, and it would be great if we did, and talk about God's grace to us. Not about how great we are and what fantastic witnesses we are, and you know, that's brilliant as well. But the grace of God in our lives. That's the message of God, of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the message the world wants to hear, because the world thinks they're rubbish. The world thinks that they're awful. The world thinks that the Christian church doesn't want to know them because they're not good enough, because their view of the Christian church is all goody-goodies. They're just ticking boxes. And our message, our story is this, that we are not. We live by the grace of the love of God. So, let's just pray. Lord, it just seems so simple, but help us to live it. I don't want to live in grime anymore. I don't want to live by my own efforts. I want to live by the expensive love of Christ. By your mercy and by your love and by your grace on a daily basis, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you pick me up and you pick me up and you pick me up and you pick each one of us up and you say to us, I love you. I love you, Lord. And I know that if one of my girls, Lord, was to do anything wrong, I wouldn't turn my face away, and nor do you do that for me. My heart will always be to bless my children, and how much more you. Lord Jesus, I thank you. May you reveal yourself to the world through us, through your grace, through your love, in Jesus' name. Amen.
To sort of extend on that a little bit, that what